folks, welcome back to Dub After. This is Chris once again. Hello, folks, and welcome to Chris White Africa on this special early bird edition of Indaba Africa News of the Day. Today is May 16th, 2021. It's a Sunday here on the eastern seaboard of the United States. Welcome. Pleasure to see you here from central Pennsylvania. Hochandete, South Africa. How are things there inside Africa? Yeah, watsihili jang, for those of you in Botswana and in neighboring Tswana-speaking South Africa. Herzlich willkommen. Bienvenue chez nous. Welcome, folks. Pleasure to have you with me once again. Special edition, special early bird edition of Indaba African News of the Day. Let's get straight to the headlines. City Press reports that the Moses Kotane municipality paid 11 million rand to a Zimbabwean businessman for services freely available from Google Maps and for a small fee from the local deeds office. Now, Moses Kotane municipality includes the city of, or the resort location of Sun City. Well, we saw yesterday I don't know if it was a joke, it was satire, or it was serious, but we did see a video of two gentlemen dressed up in EFF red garb saying that data must fall, data must fall. So hashtag data must fall. This was a complaint over the racist prices of data, which exclude black people from using the internet. Whether that was satire or actual real protests, who knows? But the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in South Africa, data is falling. The prices of data continue to drop. So newsflash, data is falling. Supersonic has just announced an unlimited air fiber package for 399 Rand per month. As prices for data continue to fall, the speed and the amount of data you can get continue to come down as well as the prices. Those go up as the price comes down. Former President Jacob Zuma is scheduled to make an appearance in court for his trial on May 17th, 2021. But it appears that once again, he may dodge his day in court with supposedly not having a legal team. How could he possibly not have a legal team after he's been in legal trouble since before he became the president of South Africa well over a decade ago? The Zimbabwe High Court has ordered the Chief Justice to step aside after the president sought to circumvent the Constitution, President Emmerson Mnangagwa extending the term of the Chief Justice, who's now 70 years of age, but the Constitution requires that justices retire at the age of 70. High drama in Zimbabwe, and now the High Court has told him to step aside. We shall see what happens from here. United Airlines begins its Dulles to Accra route with big fanfare, adding more air links to the continent of Africa in the midst of the pandemic. Fascinating development there. United also was set to schedule a flight between Joburg and Newark. I don't know if that's taken place. That's supposed to take place this month as well. And the International Monetary Fund has wrapped up a visit to Ghana. Petrofac gets in on the Mauritania-Senegal hydrocarbon project. Hypertension is Uganda's major health crisis, killing as many as 500,000 Ugandans in a country of about 38 million, 500,000 per year. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce sees vast potential for a bilateral trade agreement between Kenya and the United States. This effort was launched last year by the former president's trade representative, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is hoping that it goes through, saying that it will benefit Kenyans and Americans. And Kate Hudson's popular athletic brand of leggings, sports bras, and other things from Fabletics is in a little bit of hot water over allegations of sexual abuse at the factory that manufactures her kit in Lesotho. SpaceX successfully launched the Starlink Mission 27 with another 52 of its Starlink satellites into orbit last night, the 15th of May, 2021. And those are the headlines, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to in-depth news analysis for today's news from around Africa and around the world. Well, first off, surprise, surprise, corruption in a municipality in South Africa. Not exactly a shocking development, ladies and gentlemen. Moses Kotane local municipality paid a Zimbabwean-born businessman 11 million rand for services that are free from Google Maps and a small fee from the deeds office. Prior to the deal, Google's free map service and the deeds office property search service had been used by the municipality. He was also awarded numerous other tenders at the municipality, including a 200 million rand information communication technology tender. While there's widespread corruption in Northwest Province, what makes this case stand out is the checkered past of the person. The Mail and Guardian reported that he was convicted for defrauding the South African Revenue Service, SARS, in 2018 in the Commercial Crimes Court in Pretoria. He's given a suspended sentence and a plea bargain where he agreed to pay 843,080 Rand for his misdeeds. The Hawks investigating a case of fraud involving one of his companies, which received 234 million Rand in an ICT audit and development strategy contract. According to the National Treasury, the company has paid $78 million more than the $156 million that was budgeted for the contract. Treasury added that over 72% of the total contract was paid within 7 days of the service provider's appointment. This means the municipality may not have received services. Well, I'm sure they didn't receive services. I'm sure they didn't. As for his political connection, he's credited as the person who assisted President Emmerson Mnangagwa after he was fired by the late Robert Mugabe. He also has strong connections with many senior people at the Moses Kotane local municipality. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you the African National Congress, the most corrupt of political parties across Africa today. Once again, so much money stolen from South African taxpayers and citizens who are expecting services. We did see yesterday the comical, whether it was intentionally to be comical or not, whether it was satire or was a genuine protest, but the hashtag data must fall movement whining about the prices of data. And that's a fair whine to have in South Africa. The prices of data are astronomically high, but it has nothing to do with racism. It has to do with the cost of getting the data there. And there is a bit of gouging by South African internet service providers, and they've been doing it for years, especially if you're outside South Africa and you rely on that data coming into Namibia or Botswana or neighboring Lesotho or Swaziland. They really jack up the prices. But have no fear, ladies and gentlemen. Newsflash, data is falling. The prices of data are falling across South Africa from one internet service provider to another. Speeds are being increased and caps are being lifted. And South Africa finally begins to move into the 21st century when it comes to data, courtesy of market competition from capitalism, ladies and gentlemen. And the latest development, premium uncapped air fiber, now available at 400 Rand per month, $3.99. Supersonic has launched its new unlimited air fiber service, which offers premium uncapped connectivity starting at $3.99 per month. Air fiber offers customers fiber-like connectivity and uncapped data at consistent download speeds between 5 and 100 megabytes per second. Using that small antenna right there is what you need to get your signal. Pretty good deal there, folks. Congratulations to the South African consumer who benefits once again from capitalism. When marketplace competes with itself, this is what the outcome is. People get better service, they get better prices, they get better value for their money. And that's what capitalism brings to the world, along with increased wealth for the entire planet, lifting billions of people out of poverty in the last 30 years alone. Former President Jacob Zuma is set to go before trial on the 17th of May, but will it happen? Eyewitness News is not so sure. Zuma's case may be postponed if he fails to find legal team on time, according to an expert. Zuma and the French arms company Thales face corruption, racketeering, money laundering charges linked to the arms deal. Folks, this is the arms deal that the ANC set in motion when it came in power back in 1994. It was a deal that was supposed to be $4.1 or $4.6 billion U.S., and in the end wound up being $7.1 billion. And we've already seen Sheikh Shabir convicted of corruption and sent to jail for his corruption. In that decision, the judge determined that there's no way that Jacob Zuma was not guilty of fraud because he received corrupt payments through Thales through Sheikh Shabir. Yet Jacob Zuma is yet to be tried for his crimes, yet to be tried for something that occurred over two decades ago. The now near octogenarian, he's a septuagenarian now, 79 years of age, nearly an octogenarian, is yet to come before the court for his crimes or purported crimes. A legal expert on Wednesday said there's a chance that the case against former President Zuma could be postponed a month if he failed to secure legal representation. The matter has been certified as a trial ready, and Zuma, through his lawyers, has previously undertaken to be there when the trial commences in the Pieter Maritz High Court on Monday. But the former president's defense of the matter remained unclear as he was recently parted ways with advocate Muzi Sikahanya, Eric Mabuza, and the rest of his legal team on the case. The 79-year-old is trying to dodge again. The state says it has 217 witnesses ready to testify in the Zuma-Thales corruption case. Wow, that is quite a number of witnesses, and it should be a long, drawn-out case, assuming that Zuma shows up for his trial. The Zimbabwe High Court is striking down the effort by the crocodile Emmerson Mnangagwa to circumvent the Constitution or to take advantage of the misapproval of an alteration to the Constitution. Zimbabwe's High Court has ordered the country's Chief Justice to step down after he reached 70 years of age, despite recent constitutional amendment that appears to allow him to serve 5 more years. So this constitutional amendment is now in conflict with the High Court of Zimbabwe. Court's ruling came Saturday after human rights lawyer Musa Kika made an urgent application asking Zimbabwe Chief Justice Luke Malaba to step down. Kika was elated after the ruling outside the courtroom. It's a wonderful moment for us. I think this vindication of the rights of the people. It's a victory for the people of Zimbabwe, who are the stakeholders of the Constitution, who own this social contract. Our hope is that the powers that be, the executive, is going to respect the decision that's been made by a court of law. So this is a defining moment for Zimbabwe. We hope that it heralds a new trajectory that we will witness going forward. Sadly, sir, it will not. Zimbabwe pays no regard to its constitution. It had a constitution that it inherited at independence in 1980. It did away with that the first chance it had in 1988. Created a largely egalitarian constitution, which the increasingly venal and greedy Robert Mugabe found detrimental to his effort to be a totalitarian fascist ruler. And so he sought to undermine it with referendums that were shot down mostly because of the backing of the nascent Movement for Democratic Change and commercial farmers who were upset about the pervasive corruption in the state, the grain marketing board and such. He thereby turned his armed thugs, the so-called war veterans, most of whom weren't even 20 years of age, for a war that had ended over 20 years prior. They attacked white commercial farmers, black farm workers, displacing over 500,000 people in the agricultural sector, stealing farms that had been legally purchased since the end of the Rhodesian government under the government Mugabe as prime minister and then as president, which had first right of refusal on all land sales, And 42% of that farmland was in the hands of people who purchased it after Zimbabwe became a country. Zimbabwe doesn't care. ZANU-PF does not care about the rule of law. They have a constitution now from 2013 that came about after the monkeying and chicanery. The judiciary in Zimbabwe was independent for many years until 2000. And when they started making judgments against the corrupt, venal, thieving, murdering regime of Robert Mugabe and ZANU-PF, judges were threatened, they were intimidated, and they resigned en masse. New judges were appointed. So to trust that the court will remain independent of the crocodile who's simply old wine in a new bottle, a fellow traveler of Mugabe, who's been in government for well over 40 years now, to expect that this judiciary will be able to stand up to independence and that this is a new dawn for Zimbabwe, I think is a bit of over-optimism. One could hope, but don't hold your breath. It's not likely to be the case. Meanwhile, in brighter news, United Airlines has opened up a new flight and a new route to Ghana. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Dulles International in D.C. to Ghana. United Airlines launched its first flight of its new service to Accra, Ghana from Washington, D.C. The carrier is now operating a thrice-weekly service to the West African city from Dulles International. Flight UA-996 scheduled to leave Dulles at 18:15 every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday each week to land at Kotoka International Airport at 8:40 the next morning. On the return, UA-997 is scheduled to leave Accra at 23:45 on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday and arrive in D.C. at 6:30 the following morning. Now, the flight last night was 54 minutes late, but the 7878 model arrived ahead of schedule at 8:07 in the morning. Just a quick question. Is that wildly racist or is it simply homage to cultural traditions? I'll weigh in on the side that it's an homage to cultural traditions, but God forbid someone do that for some other purpose. Definitely, this is to celebrate the launch of the route to Accra. I'll have to say, not overly impressed with the dance style that was offered there. Seen far better traditional dancing in Botswana, in South Africa, in Uganda. But nonetheless, people are excited. Congratulations to United. There are 116,000 Ghanaians living in the United States, which makes the United States the third highest number of Ghanaians living abroad. 116,000 in the United States. So Ghanaians likely will want to take advantage of this route, especially many of them living here on the East Coast in Maryland, Virginia, the Tidewater, and D.C. This is quite a boon for them, provided that the flight is affordable. But nonetheless, more traffic to and from Africa is only a good sign of things to come. Meanwhile, the International Monetary Fund has wrapped up its visit to Ghana, and they've concluded their Article 4 discussions about extending more credit to Ghana. And they say that Ghana has managed the pandemic very effectively. Their economy is rebounding, supported by strong policy response, and that deeper and more equitable fiscal effort is needed to address the debt vulnerabilities exacerbated by the pandemic. Well, that's all fair, but let's be honest here. Ghana got itself in debt trouble long before the pandemic began, piling up billions of dollars of debt after its debt was relieved under HIPC and enhanced HIPC, the heavily indebted poor countries initiative launched by the United States and international monetary organizations to relieve the debt of countries that met governance standards like Mozambique and Ghana. So, making the argument that they need money because of the pandemic, and that's why they're in trouble. They need money, yes, but they're not in trouble because of the pandemic. They're in trouble because of their policies before that and piling on debt, overly aggressive debt accumulation. Meanwhile, Petrofac is getting in on the action for the big hydrocarbon project between Mauritania and Senegal offshore. Petrofac secures a contract for the British Petroleum project in Mauritania and Senegal to develop operational procedures for the Greater Tortue Ameyim project in Mauritania and Senegal. Their effort will be centered on minimizing risk and harm to personnel, plant, and environment. Encompass offshore, subsea, floating, and offloading operations. The Tortue Ameyim gas field, with an estimated 15 trillion cubic feet of gas, is located offshore on the border between Mauritania and Senegal. The integrated gas value chain and nearshore LNG development will support liquefied natural gas to global markets, as well as supplying gas to Senegal and Mauritania. So as a subcontractor to BP, they have got in on the action. While the world is focused on the pandemic, we seem to have lost focus on things actually killing many, many, many people around the world. One of those things is, of course, hypertension, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes. All of those things are playing a role. Increasingly serious ailments across Africa, the diseases of success and wealth are falling all over Africa. In Uganda, according to Andalou Agency news reports, hypertension is killing as many as 500,000 Ugandans per year. In a country of 38 million, that's a significant number. On the eve of World Hypertension Day, experts say 500,000 people in Uganda die every year due to the disease. It's the silent killer. According to Uganda's health ministry, disease accounts for an estimated 500,000 deaths every year. Those numbers are certainly saddening because they could have been easily much lower if the population took necessary steps. The World Health Organization believes that 1 in 3 adults in Uganda suffers from hypertension and 13% suffer from heart disease. According to the Africa Centers for Disease Control based in Ethiopia, nearly 1/4 of deaths due to cardiovascular disease are preventable. And the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says there is vast opportunity and potential for a bilateral trade agreement between Kenya and the U.S. Bear in mind that Kenya is already a recipient of Africa Growth and Opportunity Act status, which gives it a great advantage. But last year, the U.S. and Kenya announced the launch of free trade negotiations, the first of its kind between the U.S. and any sub-Saharan African country. If successful, it'll be the most significant trade development in the region since the enactment of the African Growth and Opportunity Act back in 2000. And so lots of discussion here. A trade agreement between the two countries would be the first of its kind between the U.S. and a sub-Saharan African country and would provide a steady framework for strengthening our relationships with economies across the continent by providing the necessary legal protections and enduring reciprocal trade, said Scott Eisner, Chamber's Senior Vice President. It would bring increased predictability, engaging small and medium enterprises, facilitating digital trade, expanding reciprocal access to both markets, tackling genetically modified organisms trade, which have been banned in Kenya since 2012, improving intellectual property protection, enhancing transparency, capacity building and enforcement, preserving the benefits of the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. 70% of Kenya's U.S. exports are covered under the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, and this apparently, in their view, will be a better opportunity for folks to get their hands on the U.S. marketplace and for the U.S. to get its way into Kenya's market. We shall see whether the Biden administration continues the effort. They seem to be hell-bent on turning back every positive thing that the previous administration did. And I no doubt a bilateral trade agreement with a sub-Saharan African country is probably not high on their list simply because the Trumpster is the one that was behind it. So therefore, it must be bad. We shall see what happens here. But this bilateral agreement, according to U.S. Chamber of Commerce, would be good for both countries. I would tend to agree. Meanwhile, actress Kate Hudson's $400 million athletic garments empire, Fabletics, is in trouble. What's this about? Well, this broke about a week ago when more details are coming out. Workers at a garment factory in Lesotho, where her overpriced garments come from, have been complaining about sexual abuse. Kate Hudson's Fabletics line investigating factor after 38 workers make sexual abuse and harassment claims. Female staffers claim they're subject to verbal harassment, unwanted touching at the Hippo Knitting in Lesotho. Her company is currently investigating a production factory located in Lesotho after dozens of staffers came forward with claims of sexual abuse and harassment. 38 staffers speaking on anonymity claim they get to work each day at Hippo, where Fabletics clothes are produced. They're overcome with fear and subject unwanted touching. First reported by Time magazine earlier this week, 13 female staffers told the outlet their underwear and vulvas had been exposed during daily searches by supervisors on site. Three women claim they're sexually assaulted by a male supervisor. One woman also claims that a male supervisor tried to persuade her into a sexual relationship. He made comments about my weight, that I have a beautiful body, the things he would do to me if he got a chance, one female staffer said. Upon refusing the relationship, the supervisor started trying to make my work hell. Others claim staffers are subject to verbal abuse. Time magazine reports that unions in Lesotho now fear up to 1,000 workers may lose their jobs if Fabletics halts the Hippo Knitting factory for good. Immediately after receiving a report, Fabletics suspended all operations at Hippo Knitting. Mira Bhatia, president of the expert services of Fabletics, said in a statement. The company's statement continues, one of our senior leaders is now on the ground in Lesotho and has run a comprehensive investigation in collaboration with an independent investigator. These workers' accounts demand strong action today and we're contacting the organizers of the Lesotho agreement. Now, Hudson co-founded his company in 2013, also addressed the allegations in a statement shared with Fox Business. These allegations are serious and must be addressed comprehensively and immediately. Kate had no knowledge of any of these reports until we received an inquiry. Fabletics management attested to Kate that they maintain the highest ethical and social standards for their factories and workplaces and have commenced a full and comprehensive investigation. Well, that just strains credibility, ladies and gentlemen, because once again, just like Nike and other outlets, these products are made by underpaid workers, often in dangerous conditions around the world. Now, I can't speak specifically about the conditions at Hippo factory in Lesotho, but what I can say is that Kate Hudson saying she had no idea this was going on is not acceptable. When did someone from Fabletics headquarters last visit this factory? Who from Fabletics works there on a regular basis to keep watch on this company? One should know better about these practices, women being addressed in this fashion, being expected to enter into a sexual relationship for employment or for promotions. This is not exactly rocket science or new. This is the norm in Africa each and every day, especially in South Africa, when this is expected of members of the African National Congress in order to get their seats in parliament or to get jobs or tenders. And the same in Botswana and other countries in the region. This is not exactly earth-shattering news. Anybody doing business in Southern Africa that is not aware of this is not doing due diligence and really doesn't care about the people who produce their products. So Fabletics deserves some blowback and some serious questions about what's going on in Lesotho. Long overdue. Meanwhile, SpaceX, another successful launch, this time the Starlink 27 mission, launching 52 additional satellites for the Starlink telecommunication system to provide satellite-based internet service, wireless internet service for the world at an affordable price. Of course, if they do it in South Africa, they're going to have to give over 30% of their equity to a corrupt patronage black economic empowerment scheme. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
And at this point, both first and second stage are beginning to pressurize for launch.
Falcon 9, Starlink LDs go for launch.
Go for launch.
All right, there we heard our launch director give the final
30 seconds.
There we heard the launch director give our final go for launch. And at this point in time, all systems are go. Let's listen in to the terminal count and watch as Falcon 9 takes our stack of Starlink satellites and two rideshares into space.
T-minus
15 seconds. T-minus 12. 10.
10. 9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition.
Ignition.
And liftoff.
Falcon 9 is pitching downrange.
As you can see, Falcon 9 has successfully lifted off from the historic launch pad 39A at Kennedy Space Center,
telemetry,
carrying our stack of Starlink satellites and two rideshares into orbit. We throttle the engines down in preparation for Max-Q, or maximum aerodynamic pressure. This is the largest structural load that the vehicle sees during...
Vehicle supersonic.
This is the largest structural load that the vehicle sees during ascent, so slowing the vehicle down helps during that short period.
There you have it, folks. That was the launch last night of Starlink's latest effort. Congratulations to SpaceX. Amazing, amazing stuff. Can you imagine, folks, this is the product of capitalism, the free market, free ideas, entrepreneurialism, all of the things that America is famous for, now being undermined by the Manchurian cadaver and the leftist slime balls sitting in Congress each and every day seeking to undermine the greatest republic in the history of mankind. Bringing us things like this. Private enterprise brought this to us, ladies and gentlemen, not the government, not the state. This is entirely a private venture, nothing to do with the state. Now, to be fair, SpaceX does have contracts with the government, which brought it revenue, which helped it develop its rockets. The rocket, the Falcon 9 rocket used here is, once again, a previously used rocket being reused. Part of the whole process, the concept that Elon Musk came up with over two decades ago, in which he felt that the cost of going to space could be greatly reduced by using reusable components. And these rockets have been used over and over again now. In fact, we recently had a record set with one used for the ninth time. Pretty impressive. There you go. So that's it, folks. That is SpaceX and Starlink's latest launch, extending its satellite network in space, which is already available to a limited number of consumers here in the United States for $99 a month. Of course, the equipment costs you $500, so the price point is a bit high for a lot of people now, but that price will come down as the network is linked together and more people are able to access it. And then just based on volume, we'll see it drop. Ladies and gentlemen, those are the news and headlines from today, the 16th of May, 2021, a Sunday. I hope that you're well wherever you find yourself around the world, whether it's in the Emerald Isle of Ireland, you find yourself somewhere in the remote accesses of Nunavut in northern Canada, perhaps you're in New Zealand or Chinese communist China, or maybe Taiwan, wherever you find yourself around the world today, South Africa, perhaps Namibia, Botswana. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your support and your patronage of the channel. This has been Indaba Africa News of the Day, Early Bird special feature on the 16th of May, 2021.